Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jessie Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Gets you 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are going to have a blast today. It's going to be a little different. First of all, yes, we're going to address the newest Hunter Biden's... we should just start a regular segment on the show, Hunter Biden's a disaster. Apparently, he dropped some N-bombs in text message form, and actually my take on that is not going to be what you think, so buckle up for that when we get to that about an hour from now. Apparently we're going to war with China, little things like that. Ilhan Omar, she has some interesting things to say, and I'm not going to be lectured again about my air fingers, quote, communist fetish when I mention that Ilhan Omar is kind of hot. It should, don't lie, Chris. She is. What? See, even Jewish producer Chris agrees Ilhan Omar is kind of hot. And I think we can all agree she probably wouldn't care for him very much for reasons. It's going to be a blast. And remember, I was scolded yesterday about never getting to the old stack of emails. The rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because remember, this is our last week for a couple weeks. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm digging through old emails. And because I have a commitment to doing this job as poorly as humanly possible, I didn't even look at them first. They may be bringing up stuff from the election. I don't know. We're going to dig into it today on the Jesse Kelly Show. Thank you. The email inbox was full of people excited about the new announcement, excited about the new show, people not surprised about the new show. It was very nice. Not that I'm surprised. What, Chris? Not that I'm surprised. I always knew superstardom is where we're going. 877-377-4373. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But as we've always done, let's set all that aside for now. And let's go back in time just a little bit. What do you do? What are people going to do, even if it's not you, but what are people going to do if they're ignored for long enough? There seems to be, look, I could have done this history story on 1,000 different points in history, but what are people going to do if you poke at them and poke at them and poke at them and poke at them and poke at them for long enough? What are people going to do when they don't feel heard, when they don't feel included, when they feel like there is injustice for them for long enough? Well, let's go find out. Let's go find out. Back in the year 90, well, you know what? Let's just call it 100 years before Christ. We're really in about the 91 to 87 BC range for our story today, but 100 years before Jesus was born, in your face, Chris, there was upheaval going on in Rome. In all seriousness, I see a direct mirror between this particular period of Rome and America today. It's easy to say things like, oh, America's just like ancient Rome. But what does that mean? Ancient Rome went on for 1,000 years. There are all kinds of different periods of time where it was a republic and then dictators and everything else. You have to get more specific than that if you believe that. I have told you before, and I believe it in my bones, that that is now. That this period of Rome is our period. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Rome had been wildly successful up to this point in time. And they'd been around for a while. Rome has, at this point in our story, complete control of the entire Italian peninsula. Remember, the entire Italian peninsula wasn't always Roman. You know, you had the city of Rome, and Rome expanded a little, but you had all kinds of different peoples and tribes and nations in there. And Rome had conquered them all. By about 300 years before Christ, Rome had conquered them all. They had owned the Italian peninsula, and this was a society that was simply on the rise. They were dominating the world. They had this outstanding form of government, not a normal form of government. Their military prowess was absurd. Their culture incentivized accomplishment above all, so that's what everybody was striving to do. There was no victim culture in Rome. There, go accomplish something. And it extended even more so to rich kids. You know, it's not, you there are two different kinds of rich kids. There's no harm in wealth, by the way. There's no harm in you having it and no harm in you teaching your child how to use it and whatnot. The harm comes when your child doesn't feel an obligation to advance. In Roman society, if you were a rich kid, you didn't just drive around in a Lamborghini dating pretty girls at 16 knowing daddy's trust fund's going to take care of you.
that money, that success, it was treated like an obligation. Oh, yeah, daddy has this much. How are you going to go make more? What are you going to achieve? How are you going to accomplish things? That's what the Roman society was, and they advanced so fast. And they had dominated the people around them. We're mainly going to stick with the Italian peninsula today, but I do have to say this because it's part of our story. And longtime listeners of the show will understand this. The history of the world is a history of slavery. That is the history of the world. By the grace of God, it's virtually eradicated today, except in, you know, small pockets here or there. But we always have to be aware that we live in a tiny window. You're going to live 70, 80 years. I probably won't see even close to that. In the history of mankind, that's a tiny, tiny window to experience. And your experience and my experience is not the experience of most of the world. In most of the world, when you made war on somebody, you were going to make a healthy profit for yourself and your nation. Why? Well, it's not just the gold and silver booty you seize after you win the war. You're going to make profit because all those people you conquered, they belong to you now. There's no Geneva Convention. There's no treaty here. There's no chivalry. Treat them with respect. Let's build them back up. There's simply conquerors and the conquered. And if you're conquered, you're a slave now. And that means for the people who own the slaves, it means absurd amount of wealth. Let's fast forward to today. You know what a profit loss sheet is. If you don't, just know it's a sheet, or sheets actually, that any business owner knows about. And you print it off, and it's showing you where your assets are, where your liabilities are. You're finding out, what am I spending money on? What am I making money on? You know what the biggest black mark on any profit loss sheet is? Pretty much universally? Labor. Remember this well, as a quick side note. If you're an employee, you go into work every single day with this knowledge that your boss, he has a profit loss sheet in his hands, and he's looking at a labor number all the time that gives him stress. Are you worth that stress? Or are you not? When you're not, you're gone. What does that mean for Rome? Well, hang on, we'll talk about that. And then endless emails and war with China and everything else. Hang on.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now, there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? Usually my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Look, Chris Wray testified publicly on the Hill that what happened on January 6th is domestic terrorism. What have we learned from our experience with international terrorism? In order to address that problem, arresting low-level operatives is merely a speed bump, not a roadblock. In order to really tackle terrorism, and this time domestically, you've got to attack and dismantle the command and control element of a terrorist group. And unfortunately, and I know this is painful to hear, that may mean people sitting in Congress right now, people in and around the former president. Mm-hmm. That's how you do this. Otherwise,
you ready to have a civil war? Because that's how you kick off a civil war. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have a lot, and I do mean a lot, to say about what you just heard there. Boy. Remember what I've been telling you about what's going to rise on the right? What have I been telling you we're going to get on the right? How long have I been telling you we're going to get a fascist on the right? We are. How do I know that? And I don't want one, by the way. I don't want that at all. But we're going to get one. How do I know that? I'm watching the left solidify their power within the pillars of our culture. And once they finish solidifying power in those pillars, they're going to do what communists have always done. And the right is going to respond. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Back to our story. Slaves. Ancient Rome. Slaves are making the rich richer. How does this work? Well, I'm a, just call me a Roman rancher. I have a bunch of cattle, and I have a, you know, farmer too. I got cattle and crops. It was a very agrarian society, and I'm a wealthy one. I have a couple neighbors, kind of middle class guys, but I've got this big farm, big ranch, and I got a bunch of hired workers on there. And I find out, oh, wow, we just won a war. Oh, we just defeated Carthage. That's awesome. Well, why is that awesome, honey? Well, one, it's good for Rome, good for patriotism. And two, honey, I've got to go down to the store. Oh, why? To pick up butter and eggs? No, I'm going down to pick up slaves. There would be massive slave markets. And the rich people would go down. And depending on exactly what you were looking for, they would go down and purchase slaves at the market the same way you would go purchase things at the grocery store. What am I looking for? Well, I'm a farmer. I'm a rancher. I definitely need some men who are fairly strong and to be able to handle themselves outside. He looks good, and I like him. I'll take four of those, Bob. And you know what? We actually need somebody. We need someone to tutor little Johnny. His math grades have been struggling. Excuse me, Mr. Slave Master. Do you have anybody here who was an educated man? Oh, you do. How much are those going for? Okay, good, good. Send me that math tutor. Oh, you know what? Our dishes are a little piling up around the kitchen. The old lady's been slacking off. I need a lady to come do that. It was that kind of thing. And much worse, too. I mean, much worse. You get picked to be a gladiator if you don't want to be. You get sent to the mines. Anytime you got sent to the mines in the ancient world, it was a death sentence. They didn't exactly have the safety regulations back then. Obviously, as I've gone into this before, you really did not want to be an attractive woman on the slave market. You really had to luck out if you were an attractive woman on the slave market, because there was a separate segment there for men who wanted other things. And you know what you can do about it? Nothing. So, I mean, yeah, it's terrible. However, understand this. We're not going there today. Just understand, I was this wealthy farmer. I was this wealthy rancher. And now I have all these new ranch hands. I got someone doing my dishes. I got someone tutoring little Johnny. Well, what about the people I had hired to do those things? Oh, sorry, you're all fired. Well, why am I fired? I thought I was doing a good job. Remember that profit loss sheet? Remember that profit loss sheet? I just took my labor number that I didn't like, and I dropped it to zero because I picked up slaves. So pack up your stuff and leave. Oh, that farm next door, that middle-class farm? I think I'll go ahead and buy his, too, and fill it with slaves. And then buy this and fill it with slaves. And what was happening in Rome was there were two huge things going on in Rome. Because of the slavery, there were so many slaves pouring in, the rich were getting absurdly richer, and the middle class was getting wiped out as their livelihoods were being replaced with slaves. That was one. And two, and this is going to be the point of our story today, two, citizenship, rights, a feeling of injustice. Do any of those things ring any bells for things maybe we're going with today? Feeling like there were two different justice systems? You don't feel like that's happening in America today at all, right? What do I mean by that? Well, remember, about 300 years before Christ, Rome had finished dominating the Italian peninsula. However, Rome didn't take over the whole Italian peninsula and decide, all right, we're all Roman now. No, there were Romans in Rome, in around Rome. Everyone else, you were simply an ally. You simply got colonized. That's all. All of Italy, yeah, they were, quote, allies with Rome, but you're not a Roman citizen. What does that mean? Well, it means a couple things. One, you don't get a vote. You don't get a vote on the way things go in the country like Roman citizens do. Okay, not the end of the world. They wanted a vote, certainly, but they didn't get a vote. Two, Romans were famous for this. It's part of the reason they were successful and part of the reason they were also so hated. The Roman arrogance, the Roman view that everyone else in the world was beneath them, and they're not the passive-aggressive type. Rome would flat out tell you, you're beneath us. Now, how did this play out? Well, let's say Rome goes to war, and Rome was always going to war. Well, they're going to raise legions, but they're also going to demand their Italian allies send legions too, and they would bring those troops into the army. And I'm talking about, we're talking 60, 65% of the Roman army was not Roman. It was Italian allies. Now, remember, these people are the same race and ethnicity as the people in Rome, so you can't tell the difference. They look the same, act the same, same body type, so you could not tell a difference. You or I could never tell a difference. But the Italians were off fighting Roman wars for Rome. At first, that was fine because the Italians were sharing in those spoils. But Roman arrogance being what it is, they started giving fewer and fewer spoils to the Italian allies. Oh, you don't, no, you don't get as many slaves as we do. No, you can't have as much gold. We'll give you a little of it. Go on back to your Italian farm. You're not a Roman citizen. And this was happening and happening and happening. And that Roman arrogance we just talked about, there's a famous story. There's a bunch of stories like this, but there's a famous story where there is a Roman citizen. He rolls into an Italian town, not a Roman town, an Italian town. And the public bath there is full of a bunch of people. Romans were all about the public baths, you know. And the Roman citizen wants his wife to be able to take a bath by herself. So he storms into the public bath and tells everyone, get out. My wife wants the bath to herself. Well, they do get out, but they don't get out of the public bath fast enough for the Roman citizens' taste. What does he do? He takes the governor of that area, the Italian governor. We're talking the man in charge, ties him up to a pole in the city square and beats him. This is about to be a problem, a big problem. Hang on.
Listen, I've been to the border before. I will go again. But when I'm in Guatemala dealing with root causes, I think we should have a conversation about what's going on in Guatemala.
Oh, Kamala Harris is such a personable person. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We are going to have get ready for this. We're going to have Sarah Gonzalez coming on next hour. That's right, Sarah Gonzalez with The Blaze. She's going to talk about the changes she has seen right now in places like Dallas, because this is why I bring this up. You may not be in Texas. I understand the show's nationwide. But everybody on the right better care about the direction Texas is going. Because if we lose Texas, and I'm not saying we are losing Texas, I'm not one of those people, but if we lose Texas, we don't win another national election. You understand that's how that works, right? With the Electoral College votes, if we lose Texas, you're never winning the presidency again, ever. So the big cities of Texas, Dallas, Houston, so on and so forth, they're really going a bad way. They're going a really, really, really bad way. How bad is it? Well, we're going to find out from Sarah Gonzalez later on in the show. It's the Jesse Kelly Show, 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Our story. Rome is now mistreating its Italian allies. They're not sharing the spoils of war. The Italian allies aren't being given a vote. And, you know, what do we always say about colonizing? I mean, there are ugly, brutal ways to colonize, and there are more standard ways to colonize, but colonization is the history of the world. It's not some special thing that only Europeans did. Colonization is the history of the world, and there is a good and bad to it. There's a give and take to it. Oh, I don't like that they colonized this place. The place that got colonized does get benefits from it. And one of the main benefits you get from being colonized, oftentimes, if it's done right, one of the main benefits you get is what? Protection. You get protection. Oh, yeah, we've been colonized, and I mean, I don't like it that we're not running the show anymore, and that kind of sucks. I mean, they are giving us some running water now, and the medical care has gotten better, and, oh, look, we have roads. I wish we had our own thing, but nobody's going to attack us either. Why? Because Big Daddy's standing right there behind us, and he's going to do something about it. Well, the Italian allies, they don't get protection from Rome. Why? Well, who's attacking Rome? Who's attacking Rome? If you're an Italian ally on the Italian peninsula, you're under no threat of anything. Nobody's invading you. They're avoiding you like the plague. So you're not getting the benefits of protection. There ends up kicking off a war. Rome constantly has these populists rising to power now, promising the Italian allies they'll get a vote. And Rome keeps Rome's senators, Romans' elites, who don't want to give up the slaves and the money and the power, they keep assassinating these populists who keep rising because system disruptors normally have short lives. Remember that. Eventually, Italy's had enough. War breaks out. Only this is not like other wars the Romans have fought before. What do I mean by that? Well, Rome, remember, we've always talked about their discipline and how great they were in command, and they were just, and how great they were at building things on the field of battle. They would build fortifications and they had artillery and they were just awesome. Well, the Italians were exactly the same. Remember, we're dealing with the same culture, the same ethnicity, the same body type, the same training, because they made up 60% of the Roman legions. They knew all that construction work in armor, in formations, in spears, in gladius swords, and things. Okay, so Rome was essentially fighting other Romans. Now we've evened things out here considerably. The Italians start to rebel, and they start joining together. How serious is this? I'll put it to you this way. When the Italians start to rebel, it's not just that they're killing Romans. They're certainly doing that, and Rome is killing them back. When the Italians started to rebel, they created their own Senate. They started building their own buildings as if they're a separate country now. They printed their own money. And The Roman symbol was always the wolf. Romans loved wolves. The money the Italians printed had a bull goring a wolf on it. Even their money was a gigantic double middle finger towards the Romans. That's how serious this thing was. And what kicked off next was a brutal, brutal, brutal affair. The whole thing went from 91 to 81 BC. Battles here. Horrible. I mean, I almost want to call it, this may be disrespectful, I almost want to call them pogroms against each other. You know, like the pogroms they did against Jews in Russia, in Europe? They would have, you'd have a part of town, like it's an Italian town, and there'd be a bunch of Romans, and they would all just one night gather up and go slaughter them all, just like they used to do the Jews in Europe, in Russia. And the Russians and the Romans would do the same to the Italians. Oh, we've had too much to drink tonight. Let's go down to the Italian part of town and steal all their women and murder everybody. And I don't mean like 10 people. They'd just go kill 1,000 of them in a night. And remember this. Remember this. We're talking about people who are neighbors. They think alike. They have the same religion. They have fought side by side in the same wars. These people are the same. They should be the same. Why are they killing each other? By the time this thing is done, it's actually called the Social War, if you ever want to look it up. It's also called the Italian War, but the main word for it is the Social War. By the time it's over, 100,000 are dead. 100,000. In case you're wondering how it ended, why it ended, I guess I should say, there was a kingdom called Pontus and a king by the name of Mithridates. If you know anything about Roman history, you'll know the name. He was a famous thorn in the Roman side, and he had invaded part of Rome. And so Rome, while it's fighting this social war, gets invaded by this king of Pontus and has to stop. They have to do something to put an end to the social war because they have to go fight a war, you know, in their shores somewhere else. And essentially what Rome did, which they never, ever, ever did, was they essentially caved. They told their Italian allies, okay, anyone who's been on our side or anyone who surrenders now, no punishment for you. Not only is there no punishment, you're good to go. We'll give you a vote now. You want the vote? You can have the vote. That's how desperate Rome was to end the war. So it ends. They get their vote. But 100,000 dead. 100,000. 100,000 people had to die so people could get a vote. 100,000 people had to die so people could get recognized as being equal. How is that possible? Why does this stuff happen? Well, I'm going to explain something to you about what's going on right now in America. And I'm going to play that clip we played before coming back. And I want you to remember this. I just want you to remember during the break here. 100,000 people had to die in order for something to happen that everyone knew should happen. Why? I'll tell you why. Hang on.
Look, Chris Wray testified publicly on the Hill that what happened on January 6th is domestic terrorism. What have we learned from our experience with international terrorism? In order to address that problem, arresting low-level operatives is merely a speed bump, not a roadblock. In order to really tackle terrorism, and this time domestically, you've got to attack and dismantle the command and control element of a terrorist group. And unfortunately, and I know this is painful to hear, that may mean people sitting in Congress right now, people in and around the former president. Mm-hmm. That's how you do this.
Otherwise, it is the Jesse Kelly Show, and it's time for you and I to have a very, very frank discussion about what you just heard. Let's be clear about something here. What you just heard is not some abnormality. It's not some talking head on TV who said something dumb. This is how
the people in power, the people throughout our bureaucracy, the people throughout the Democratic Party, this is how they think. What are they doing? Well, here's what they're doing. They're consolidating their power, and they're doing the same thing communists have always done. What have I always told you about communists? America's communists. America's communists are no different than communists have always been. And America's communists right now are figuring out a way to make you, not someone who was just in the Capitol building January 6th, they're figuring out a way to make you a domestic terrorist. Why would they want to do that? So then they have the freedom to use the force of government, government law enforcement, to arrest you and remove you from the picture so you can't be political opposition any longer. It's not more complicated than that. What am I worried about? I just covered the social war. What am I worried about? I'm worried, and I really mean this, I'm worried these people aren't listening. Just like the elites in Rome prior to the social war. How could you be so stupid to not give them citizenship and mistreat them for that long and think that was going to last forever? How could you be that dumb? How could these people on the left be dumb enough to think you can continue to mistreat and mistreat and mistreat and mistreat people on the right and think there's not going to be a response? And I will, look, I'll give it to you right between the eyes like I always do. I'm worried about what that response is going to look like if this gets bad enough. You keep talking like this. Chris, play this again in a second. You keep talking like this. We will find you. We'll find your leaders. We're going to arrest your congressman. You keep talking like that, Jack. Whew, there's going to be blood on the streets.
Look, Chris Wray testified publicly on the Hill that what happened on January 6th is domestic terrorism. What have we learned from our experience with international terrorism? In order to address that problem, arresting low-level operatives is merely a speed bump, not a roadblock. In order to really tackle terrorism, and this time domestically, you've got to attack and dismantle the command and control element of a terrorist group. And unfortunately, and I know this is painful to hear, that may mean people sitting in Congress right now, people in and around the former president. That's how you
That's not how that idiot thinks. That's how the left thinks, because they're communists, and that's how communists think. Communists take power, and communists use power to make sure they get more power. And how do they do that? They use their power against their political opponents all the time. And again, remember this. It would never occur to them not to use their power against you. That's their mentality. That's their religion. These people raided Rudy Giuliani's office. You can't use the federal law enforcement arm against your political opponents. You remember what Giuliani's son said? He's 100% right.
Mind you, I'm speaking as a son and a concerned American. Anybody, any American, whether you're red or blue, should be extremely disturbed by what happened here today, by the continued politicization of the Justice Department. This is disgusting. This is absolutely absurd, and it's the continued politicization of the Justice Department that we have seen. And it has to stop. If this can happen to the former president's lawyer, this can happen to any American. Enough is enough. The only piece of evidence that they did not take up there today was the only piece of incriminating evidence that is in there. And it does not belong to my father. It belongs to the current president's son.
He's right. You know that, right? He's right. Left, right, red, blue. This using of the federal law enforcement arm to abuse the people you don't like politically, it is not a small deal. It is a big, big deal. Don't forget, and don't forget this at all. Barack Obama's FBI lied to the FISA court in order to get a warrant to spy on his political opponents. And at the end of it, when it all shook out,
One guy, one FBI lawyer got probation. Not a single person went to jail. And what did I tell you when that happened? I told you that was the most dangerous story in America because everyone at the Department of Justice, they saw that and thought, I can do whatever I want. All right, I'm going to calm down. Let's talk about Hunter Biden. Hang on.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, get 10% off.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered. Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Jesse Hempel, host of the Hello Monday podcast. In my 20s, I knew what career success looked like. In midlife, it's not that simple. Work is changing, we are changing, and there's no guidebook for how to make sense of it. Start your week with the Hello Monday podcast. Listen to Hello Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You may know Jackson Pollock, the painter famous for his iconic drip paintings. But what do you know about his wife, artist Lee Krasner? On Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock, the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.